All right. How y'all doing here today? Everybody doing good? Come on, come on. What an exciting day. So thankful to be with you. If I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself, my name is Rick Paladin, lead pastor here at Bridge City Church over all four locations, all four campuses. We're one church in four locations. So amped to be with you here for the good news today. Come on, let's give God a great big hand, and let's give all the kids and all the students a great big hand. And I get the opportunity to bring today's lesson to you today. Hey, it was a week or 2 weeks ago now. My wife and I have been doing a lot of traveling, and we were in Huntsville, Alabama. And if any of you ever been in Alabama, you know, you don't just say it Huntsville, it's like Huntsville, Alabama. And we were in Huntsville, Alabama, and we were trying to get home. And there were some delays. It seems like every flight has a delay anymore. We've been traveling a lot to different churches, and it's been happening. So we're there at the gate, and there's another delay. And here, because of the delay, there was one gate. Gate one had a flight 5484 going to Charlotte. And on gate three, they had another plane going to Charlotte, 5497. Now, who came up with that idea? I'm not sure. But what happened was we were waiting at the gate, and all of a sudden it was delayed, and they made an announcement, you got to go to gate three now if you want to go to Charlotte. So we were at gate one, and we ended up at gate three. And then we're looking at our app, and we realized that now there's two flights, and we got to figure out which one to get on, okay, because getting on the right flight is very important. Can I hear amen? And so we're there, and so we moved to gate three, and it's bothering me because now they said there's two, and we're supposed to be at gate one, but there's a lot of people at gate one, now at gate three, and I know they're at the wrong gate. And being the personality type I am, this just isn't good. Okay, like something's wrong. And so I'm telling everybody I know, I'm going up to complete strangers saying, what's your flight number? Yeah, I was that guy because I was trying to be helpful. Okay, now not everybody embraced my help. There was a young man there, and he looked at me and he said, I don't have the app. I don't know what gate. I said, I can help you. I'm pretty techie. So I helped him with his app and got him up. I said, here, now you can see the flight coming in. And they had wrong signs up. It was going to Dallas. It was a mass confusion. And so I go up to the gate, and there's a people working at the gate, you know, for the airlines. And I said, I don't think you understand. And they were not impressed that they didn't understand. And I was trying to tell them, I'm literally saying, there's people at this gate that should be down at gate one. And they go, uh-huh. And then a supervisor came, and I tried to explain it to the supervisor. I said, excuse me. He goes, uh-huh. I said, nobody cares. So I tried to get as many people as I could to the right gate, and we made it back to gate one, and there's still mass confusion. People are running gate to gate, and it's driving me nuts here. Now, I'm going to stop and give a couple illustrations of what we can learn, because we have some graduates, high school graduates in the house today. Give them a big hand. I'm going to stop here. Number one, I want to tell you, delays happen. Delays happen in life. Can anybody say amen? But just because you're in a delay, just because we were in Huntsville, didn't mean that we were official Alabamians. We were on our way to Pittsburgh because where you are does not define who you are. I'm going somewhere different. I have a different destiny. And so finally, we were at gate one, and somebody announced the right flight numbers, and everybody started rushing to the right gate, and it was like, glory, hallelujah. So, but then we had to get the right ticket. We were on. We had to go down a very narrow gate. Remember that narrow gate? We had to go down. We had to get in the right seat. And then we had to listen for instructions. That's right. People that I didn't know were telling me that I needed to buckle up. I don't know if you've ever been on a flight, but if you don't buckle up, you get to leave the plane. There's simple instructions you have to obey. People come to me all the time and they say, Pastor, I have trouble with faith. I have trouble having faith in God. I just can't have faith in God. But the same people get on a plane and they trust a pilot that they've never met. take them 30,000 feet up in the air and land this thing, but they say they have trouble with faith. Listen, if you've ever done this, faith is faith. You got to trust and you got to depend on. So there's another rule for our student ministry, 6th through 12th grade, and those graduating. It's going to take faith to get where you're going. It's going to take a faith in God. And you don't always see the person driving your life, which is God. Come on. But you got to trust that he knows what he's doing and he's going to get you to the right place. You see, along the way, we need to realize that along the way, God has a plan. And the plan has to do with God's good news. Everybody say good news. Good news is the gospel according to Mark. We're going to read some verses out of here today. But first of all, it would not be kids ministry without a memory verse. I thought you'd all be a little more excited about that. Some of you were, listen, you got potato chips there. And most of you, the only thing you're thinking about right now is how soon can I get water? The chips are free. Water will cost you, okay? That's another story about life for y'all. Okay, let's hit this memory verse together here. It's in Mark 2:17, and so we're all going to read this out loud together. This is the Word of God, Mark chapter 2:17. Let's go together. Here we go. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus, and I'm just so thankful that he didn't call the people that have it all together, but he called those of us, how many are like me and us in this room, that didn't have it all together, but God's helping us get it all together. Come on, where's those hands at today? Come on. Yeah, he's helping me get it all together, and that's what kind of God he really, really is. So let's go back in here in Mark chapter 2, verse 13. We're going to pick up the story here. And Jesus went out to the lake shore, and he taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and he followed him. Notice Jesus didn't say, "Believe in me." He said, "Follow me." So what's Jesus looking for? He's looking for followers. Let's say that together. He's looking for followers, not just those who acknowledge, but those who will follow here. It's interesting, but the disciples were predominantly in their teens. Only one that we know of. And why do I say this? How do you know this, Pastor Rick? Because in the gospel according to Matthew 17, when Jesus said to Peter, "Go and get money for taxes for you and I," he didn't mention all the other disciples, because you had to be over 20. When you were over 20, you started paying taxes. Here's another lesson for our graduates. Yes, you're going to have to pay taxes. Okay, how many of y'all remember the day you realized what taxes were? How many of you remember it seared your memory? You've never been the same since. Yeah, so Peter most likely was over 20, but the other disciples were under 20. That's how we say that. So what I want to say to us as a church, being a multi-generational church, is that we shouldn't wait until young adults aren't old enough to get it. We need to start now. See, we can't wait. We got to do it now. And we got to pave the way, and we got to make a way for them here. Now, tax collectors were the modern day bullies. They were traitors. They stole. They stole kids' lunch money. I don't know if anybody does that anymore. How many remember the days of stolen lunch money? You all look so holy. Thank you. I see a few hands. Yeah. Yeah. Now Yeah, they stole from people. They were traitors. Nobody liked the tax collectors. Nobody liked them at all. But Jesus is like, "These are the ones I came for, and these are the ones that I love." And I think that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty cool that Jesus loves everybody. Who does he love? Yeah, and he wants everybody to be a follower, not just an acknowledger of him. Now it's funny that Levi stood up and he followed. Because once he did that, he lost his job as a tax collector. There was no going back to his career. Once he decided to be a follower, he was going to be a follower for life. Here's another lesson. We need to make a choice, and following Jesus is a choice. It is a choice that we get to make to not just believe in him, but be a follower of him. And in just a few moments here, we're going to have some people come up here, young adults, and they've made a choice to be followers of Jesus. Now, they didn't make a choice just to go to a student ministry, but they made a choice to be followers of Jesus. And all the young people in our church right now, we're all about following Jesus because we love him and he's cool. Come on. Yeah, this is where it's at here. Now, I want to give permission, and you're going to have to help me here. I want to give permission to the young people, the young adults in this room here, that you don't have to go and experience all that the world experiences to become a follower of Jesus. I thought many of you would get a lot more excited about that statement. No, I want to give you permission that you do not need to go do all that to become a follower. You can be a follower from now on. How many of the big people, I like what you were saying earlier, the big space. We're in the big space today. I guess that makes us big kids. How many of you wish that you didn't do what the world said to do and that you were a follower all of your life? Yeah. Yeah, you wish, right? Yeah, that's one of the lessons that we learn here. Okay, here we go. Mark chapter 2:15. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. Now, if Jesus were to come to your house, if he were to come to your house up here, and he was going to have dinner with you. Jesus is coming to your house to have dinner. How many of you up in this front row think your parents would tell you better behave? Brazy, thank you very much. Yeah. How many of you guys out there, your wife would say, please use a napkin. Come on, somebody. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So if Jesus were to come to your house, what do you think he would like to have for dinner? What do you think Jesus would like to have for dinner? What would he like?
Maybe like bread.
Bread? With extra butter? Bam. Okay.
Same thing as Riley.
Okay, same thing. Do you got one?
Bread and fish.
Bread and fish. How do you remember that? They've been in Sunday school for a while. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Come on. Now, some of you big kids out there, if he was coming to your house, what would you make Jesus for dinner? Come on, somebody. Come on, help me. What's that? Pizza. That's right. We know he's a chicken parm. Come on. I know where I'm going for dinner now. Come on, somebody. Who else? Do you got one?
He would eat healthy stuff.
He would eat healthy stuff? He would eat healthy stuff. I don't know what you did wrong over the weekend, but it just got right about now. That was awesome. Very good. Come on, he would eat healthy stuff. Very good.
I'll make him for lunch gummy bears.
Gummy bears. Okay, very good. Good deal. How many of y'all big kids? Come on, what would you have? What would you make for Jesus? Barbecue. Very good. Jesus likes barbecue. Very good. Good deal. What's your lamb? Bam, I'm coming there. Lamb chops to be. There's my jam. But how many of you know Jesus is coming to your house, and this is a really, really big deal, and he invited all these other people with him. He invited all these disreputable people, all these things here. And then we go on to verse 16. But when the teachers of the religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he told them, Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. This verse 17, see verse 17. Let's say this out loud together. Everybody, here we go. Oh, there it is. Very good. When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. This is who Jesus came for. This is who Jesus wanted here. Pharisees were the separated ones. They were the religious ones. They were the ones that thought church was only for the holy people. When really Bridge City Church and our church is not just for the holy ones, it's for the people who need Jesus. How many of y'all need Jesus out there? Come on, it's for people like us that need him. And we want him, and we just need him, and we come here on a regular basis to get a checkup, because that's what you do with doctors. You get a checkup to make sure that you have the love of God and the forgiveness of God and all those other things. And how many of you are so thankful for that? Now, another rule of thumb here is this. And I want to speak to the younger people here, is that if you're going to live on mission with Jesus, if you're going to live on mission for Jesus in college, in school, over the next, there's a significant 7 to 8 years coming up. People aren't going to understand you if you live on mission for Jesus. Because even the religious people didn't understand him. Even religious people didn't get it. And so I'm here to free all of us today that if we're going to live on mission, people are not going to understand our way of living. Can I hear an amen here? They don't understand it. It's foreign to them. And they're going to make fun of you, but stand firm in the faith. You can do this. We can do it together. And that's what we do as a multi-generational church here. We're making room for all of this here. And this is why we exist, and this is why we do kids ministry, this is why we do student ministry. It's that we exist so that as many people as possible will begin a relationship, have that follow me moment, and then become followers of Jesus Christ, fully devoted. Can we say this out loud? Because this is our mission statement right now. You ready? I want you real, real loud here. Here we go. We exist so that as many people as possible will begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And the great thing is that everybody's invited. Everybody's invited to the table. Everybody got snacks today. Isn't that cool? How many of y'all think this should be a regular occurrence? Yeah, I see those hands. Yeah, wow. Yeah, maybe we should get some lamb and chicken parm and some pizza here. Come on. Yeah, but everybody gets invited to the table. And I want to ask you a question today. Jesus has invited you to a table today. It's a relationship with him. It's a relationship with God the Father through Jesus. And we all can have that relationship. And I am thankful. Where's all of our BCC kids ministry teachers? Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. A whole bunch of them. Thank you so much for what you do on a day, week in, week out basis. Helping families on a week, like a weekly basis. Helping families. Helping parents. How many of you parents out there are thankful for them? Come on. Yeah. Because we're all about beginning a relationship and becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord. Lord God, for allowing us to begin a relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, that we can become fully devoted followers of you. So, Lord, I thank you for every person that can hear my voice right now. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would help us live out this beginning and becoming followers of you. And I pray that those in the room today that don't have a relationship with you, that the word of God would come alive to them like never before. And that this relationship with Jesus would come alive like they've never, ever experienced before. So God, thank you right now. And right now in this moment, right with your head bowed, there's many people in the room right now. You're like, man, I'd like to become a follower. I don't just want to be acknowledger. I listen, maybe I'm a little heart sick. sin sick. Well, Jesus is the one who can heal you. On your seats, there's a card, and if you fill out that card and put your name, and on there, there's a box that you check off. I want Jesus Christ to be the forgiver of my past and the leader to my future. And if you just put your name on there and you drop it into us and you let us know, we're going to pray for you this week and next week. We're going to do everything we can to help you become followers of Jesus Christ, because that's what we do here at Bridge City Church. And so, God, I thank you for those that are making that decision right now. Lord, God, I thank you for those that are literally just saying, God, I want to be a follower right now in their hearts. Let today be a new day for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody say amen.